And it says, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. That's interesting, isn't it? There's something to that. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Today, as you all know, is Resurrection Sunday. And we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God from the dead. Amen? Amen. This is a day that's meant to be celebrated and remembered with thankfulness, with gratitude, praise, worship, and joy as Christians. Now, I got to tell you this, because a lot of people, when they hear about the resurrection of Jesus, it's so mind-blowing, they start to think it's like a fairy tale. It's like it's just a bedtime story that mom and dad told to them. Hey, man, are you you know what I'm talking about? But you need to know this, that it was a literal resurrection of Jesus' physical body from the dead. Amen. No different than if you died right here. We prayed over you and you rose from the dead. Literal, a physical raising from the dead. All right, I just felt like I really needed to hammer that fact, because a lot of times we just let these spiritual truths from the Word just pass right over top of us. But I think it's good that we need to stop and really think about that. Amen. It was an absolute miracle by the Holy Spirit. So in my message today, I want to talk about the people that Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection from the dead. There are some powerful points that we can pick out. And each time Jesus revealed himself to someone after his resurrection, there was a victory over something, which you'll see here in a moment. But after being resurrected, Jesus hung out on earth for a reason. There's a reason why he didn't just get beamed up right from the tomb, beam me up. Up into heaven. There is a reason why he hung around. And it says that he hung around this earth for 40 days after his resurrection. And it was to show and confirm his victory over death, hell, and the grave. Say confirm. I don't know about you, but I like when something's confirmed. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, yeah, 40 days should do it. 40 days should do it, right? I think that's enough proof. So the time between Jesus was resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven was 40 days. That 40 days has always intrigued me. Every time I read that in the Word of God, it's always intrigued me. What did Jesus do? What did he talk about? Who did he reveal himself to? What did he say to them? What kind of conversations was he having? Wouldn't that have been awesome to be living back in that day and be one that Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection? So let's do this today. Let's just let's take a Holy Spirit-led journey through the Word of God together as he reveals powerful points to us about the resurrection and what took place during that 40 days. Are you ready? The title of my message today is simply this, Revelation of the Resurrection. Revelation of the Resurrection. So the Word of God records several different appearances of the resurrected Jesus to different people individually and some people in groups. Now, who knows? There may have been more, but this is what the Holy Spirit has chosen to put in the Bible. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit said, this is enough. This should be good enough for people to kind of get a picture of what happened. There may have been more, but this is good enough. Say the Word of God is good enough. Here we go. The first person that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead was with Mary Magdalene. Look at John 20 and verses 11 through 18 I want to look at here. And it says, "But Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' The angels said this. She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus." Can you imagine that? She didn't even recognize that it was Jesus. She saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." That was it. That did it. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God.'" That's good, isn't it? Jesus included us in that. Verse 18, "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." So Mary was standing outside of the tomb weeping. And when she stooped down and looked into the tomb, Jesus was not there. And then two angels. Can you imagine? I don't know about you. I love the supernatural. I love the kingdom of God. There's nothing boring about the kingdom of God. Amen? Two angels in white were in the tomb and asked her why she was weeping. And here's what, she assumed that someone stole Jesus' body. You want to know what she did? The same thing all of you and me probably would have done. Immediately, her mind went to the most hopeless and worst case scenario. Isn't that just like the flesh? It goes to the worst case scenario. See, we got to train ourselves that we go to faith and not to the worst case scenario in our heart. Amen? And Jesus was standing there and asked her why she was weeping. And I just find that interesting. She didn't even recognize it was him. She was so caught up in her grief, so caught up in her mourning, until Jesus spoke her name. See, there's something powerful about when our Creator calls us by name. When he calls you by name. I love that. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and as they mourned and wept, and when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." Even some didn't believe her report. All right? So Mary Magdalene, for some reason, that strikes a chord in my spirit. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. It was a woman that he cast seven demons out of her. He set her free from demonic bondage. Amen? And then after that, when he set her free, she followed Jesus. She followed Jesus' ministry team and ministered to them. Oh, I like that. You see, Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Nobody is beyond healing or restoration. Whatever you're going through today, whatever bondage you're in right now, if Mary Magdalene can be delivered, you can be delivered. Amen? Amen. That's the Jesus that we serve. The one he set free from bondage was the first he appeared to after his resurrection. I love that. So the first appearance to Mary Magdalene reveals this, a victory over grief, a victory, I like this, over hopelessness. Hallelujah. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation with God. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're going through a storm today, you're going through some hard time in your life, hold on to the anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Amen? He will carry you through. Now, the next individuals that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead was, this is interesting, was with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Don't you love when the Bibles call someone the other Mary, right? How would you like to be called the other Mary, right? But this other Mary was the mother of James and Joseph, okay? Now, go to Matthew 28. I'd be just happy just showing up in the Bible. Amen? Unless you're Thomas. We'll talk about him later. Amen. And Judas. And Judas. Amen? All right. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath at the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. For he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold," listen to this, "Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Now, this is an interesting account of the resurrection of Jesus. And it gives a few more details. There was an earthquake. Say earthquake. I like that. See, this event was so powerful. It was so moving that it shook the very earth. Amen? As the angel rolled back the stone for Jesus to come out of that tomb. See, angels, I don't know if you know this or not, but angels can impact the natural realm. The angel literally pushed back and rolled back the stone. Amen? So I love how the angel, I don't know why, I just get a kick out of this, that the angel sat on top of the stone that he rolled away. Does anybody else find that kind of amusing? Kind of just sitting on there, yeah, you do it, yeah, I did that, right? So the Bible says, you know, I love that because it's like a picture of victory. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting on that stone, yeah, I did it, yeah, Jesus out of there, sure, right? So the Bible says the countenance of the angel was like lightning and the clothing white as snow. Now, I want you to notice that the guards were not asleep when this angel moved this thing, because it says that these guards, they shook with fear and they were like dead men when they saw the angel. Amen? Let me just tell you something. If you have an angelic encounter, it's going to affect you. Right? It's going to affect you. It's going to impact you. It's going to challenge all of your theology. Hello, somebody. And then the angel confronts the women when they show up together. And the two women went to tell the disciples, and Jesus met them, and he told them, "Rejoice." I love that. He said, "Rejoice." So Jesus, what he's trying to do here, he's trying to drive home the point that the resurrection is a pretty big deal on this earth and for all of mankind. Are you getting it? Have you got that revelation yet? The resurrection. In fact, you can't even be saved. You can't even be born again without believing in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You must believe in your heart, it says. In your heart, not this physical pump. No, in your heart, in your spirit. That you must believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So, well, you just can't say, well, I believe he went to the cross, but I don't know about that resurrection thing. No, sorry, you're not born again then. You must believe in a physical resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gained victory over death, hell, and the grave. His resurrection will gain that victory for every. This is what he was trying to get across. It's going to gain that victory. His victory becomes the victory of all those who put their faith in him. Think about that. So he tells them to go and tell his brethren, go to Galilee. Jesus is setting up a divine appointment here, all right? So are you kind of getting the picture here that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he didn't go lay on a lawn chair somewhere to go get some tan and say, man, I had a real rough time. I'm just going to kind of chill out these 40 days and just kind of lay back and chill by the river of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee. You're getting it, right? Jesus was very active in these 40 days. There was stuff he had to accomplish. There were divine appointments that he had to accomplish. Now, the next individuals that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead were, this is interesting, were two disciples on a road to Emmaus. Emmaus was a city. And so he met two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, the word of God, out of these two disciples that he ran into, it only reveals one of the names of those two. And one of those names was Cleopas, all right? So these disciples were not a part of the apostolic group. Are you following me? These were just normal Joes. You get it? Are you awake out there? Oh, good. Okay, great. Now, go to Luke 24. Go to Luke 24. So there was two disciples he ran into on purpose. Luke 24, verse 13. And it says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained. Look at this. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Isn't that interesting? And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one, whose name was Cleopas, that's the only one it reveals out of the two, answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened here in these days? Basically, they're saying, buddy, do you have no clue what happened? Where you been? Under a rock? You been in a cave? Verse 19. And see, they got a little sarcastic in the Word of God, too. Amen. And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. Yes, a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, here he goes, here comes the big rebuke. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, that's good. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Man, I just love these 40 days. I don't know. I just get a kick out of this. Then it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and that he vanished from their sight. He just vanished like that. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Man, that's powerful. Now, I find it interesting in verse 16 that these disciples' eyes were restrained and they didn't recognize Jesus. When Jesus drew near to him, Jesus asked them what they were talking about. "Hey, why are you so sad?" The two disciples were trying to reason out all of the events. Their mind was being blown, right? That took place. They were filled with confusion and sadness. Would you agree with that? That's probably a true statement, right? Well, in verse 25, Jesus rebukes them for being foolish and slow of heart and not believing the words that were spoken of him. Not believing that. Then Jesus, I love what Jesus did. He sat there and taught them about himself. Jesus literally took the time to sit down with them and tell them everything. Now, so which makes me believe this. Could their unbelief and confusion been the reason that their eyes were restrained from seeing Jesus? Are you following me? Say perspective. Remember when the 12 spies went into the promised land, right? They all seen the same thing. 2 came back and said, "We can take them." 10 came back and said, "There's giants in the land." So your faith or unbelief can cause how you see things and what your perspective is in this life. Amen? So I love, though, how Jesus literally took the time to just chill out with them and to teach them in the Old Testament to eradicate the confusion and lack of knowledge in their minds. So in this appearance then, Jesus brought victory over confusion by bringing clarity to them. He was being a teacher to them. You know what Jesus was doing? He was bringing understanding to them. See, that's why teaching is so important in the body of Christ. I can sit here and proclaim something all day long, but if I don't explain something to you, you're going to walk out of here as lack of knowledge as you did before. Amen? So, you know, here's what the Lord told me too. He said, we may not see him in the flesh on this earth, but he sent his Holy Spirit to be our teacher on this earth. Amen? And he said this to me. He said, it's just as good and effective as if Jesus was in the flesh with us, teaching us right now. Say, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important. Now, verse 32 is very interesting. For some reason, this always strikes a chord in my heart. It says, did not our heart, the disciple said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? See, the disciples' hearts were burning on the inside of them because they were directly connecting with the heart of God. They were directly connecting with their Creator. The anointing and the glory that was on Jesus and on his spoken words were affecting them. See, when the Holy Spirit is speaking through someone, it goes directly to the heart. Have you ever had that? You ever been in a sermon, listening to a sermon or a message, and all of a sudden you're just, you can feel a stirring on the inside. Kind of like what these guys, they weren't talking about heartburn, okay? They didn't have chili dogs that day. Are you following me? They didn't go to Coney Island that day and say, oh man, I'm really having some heart. No. This is a spiritual thing. Are you following me? Meaning their spirit, you could say it this way, was doing somersaults and flipping on the inside of them. They were connecting with the Master. Amen? Hallelujah. And you can feel that same way when the Holy Spirit is moving over you right now. The next persons or group that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead was the remaining 11 disciples. Go to Luke 24, verses 36 through 43 real quick here. 36 through 43. And it says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they did not believe, for joy they marveled and said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence." Now, so Jesus, again, Jesus is having some fun. The disciples are in this room, and all of a sudden he just appears. "Hey, guys." Isn't that cool? Am I the only one? Really? I mean, that thinks this is amazing? He just appears to them, okay? And the first thing that Jesus says is, "Peace to you." You do know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? All right? Not for this world. He came to give peace on the inside of believers. Are you right? Okay, you understand that? Now, he knew that they would be freaked out by the supernatural entrance in the room. And Jesus confronts them. What does he do? He confronts them about the doubts about him. All right? You got to understand something about Jesus. Jesus doesn't like when we doubt him. Hello, somebody. Don't try to normalize doubt. Don't try to normalize unbelief. You want to know why? Because it's an act of your free will. Faith, doubt, and unbelief are all an act of your free will. So it just doesn't come upon you arbitrarily. No, you choose to believe or not. That's why Jesus has a problem when we doubt him. Are you following me? All right? And so he was trying to correct that. Now, they thought that Jesus was a spirit, or you could say a ghost, right? But Jesus confronted that lie by immediately telling them, guys, no, go ahead. Look at this. Look, see? Right? He's showing him the, so which tells me this, his physical body that was resurrected was not a new body. It was his same old body because the holes were still there. Are you following me? Right? Now, and then he goes on to say, a spirit does not have flesh and bones, right? Well, that's true. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, right? Which Jesus obviously had, right? Again, his body was physically resurrected from the dead. So Jesus showed him their hands, his hands and feet, and they still had a problem believing. I mean, this unbelief and doubt ran pretty deep, right? All right. But Jesus said this. He said, I'm going to take this to the next level and prove that I'm not just a spirit, that this just isn't a spiritual body. So then he goes and he says, hey, do you have a menu? I'll take the broiled fish and some honeycomb. Jesus ate real healthy. Are you following me? And he ate it right in front of them. A spirit would not be able to do that, obviously, because Jesus was using that as proof that this is a physical body. Are you getting it? So Jesus gave them victory over their doubts and over their fears in this appearance after the resurrection. Now, so in verse 45, it goes on to say that Jesus opened their understanding. Again, you got to love Jesus because Jesus didn't like people just hanging. Jesus took the time. Come on, guys, let's sit down. Let me teach you something. Right? I find it interesting that one of the qualifications to be in ministry, are you ready for this? Be apt to teach. Are you following me? That's how important teaching is. We just can't stand up here and proclaim. Preaching proclaims, teaching explains. Amen? So teaching the Word of God is very important. And we as Christians need to know the Bible. Listen to me, Christians. Don't just leave it to those in full-time ministry. We need to know the Word of God to the point that we can teach others also. I'm not saying you have to be a grand theologian. I'm not saying that. But you should know enough. If someone says, what do I need to do to be born again and why? You should be able to do that. Amen? There's a period of time where you should be far enough in your journey, mature enough in your walk with the Lord, where you can teach someone else. Amen? So teaching people in the Word of God and giving them understanding. Again, let me remind you of this. One of the ways that it says in the parable of the sower that what gives the enemy access to a person is when they hear the word and don't understand it. That's when the enemy can come in and pluck that word out. But the difference for that word that's been sowed in their heart from really getting fruit and them taking hold of it, the difference is understanding the word. I'm telling you, we can't talk enough about the importance of teaching the word. Amen? So the next group of people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead was with some disciples, but who I really want to pull out in this one. Are you ready? Thomas. Go to John 20. John 20. Now, there's the hall of fame in the Bible, then there's the hall of shame. I wouldn't want to be Thomas. Amen? John 20, 24 through 31. Now, Thomas, called the twin of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So he's going a step further. He just doesn't want to see it. He wants to put his hand in there. This dude has problems. He has some real issues, right? His unbelief runs real deep. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them. "Peace to you." There's that peace again. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." I find that interesting. He can say, you can run your hand right through my side, but believe it. Wouldn't you believe it, putting your hand in the side? He knew Thomas had some real issues here, okay? And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Finally, ding, 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 ding. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." He's talking about all of us. "And truly Jesus did," I love this, "and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples." I want to know that. What signs did he do, right? "Which are not written in this book. But these are things written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." He's saying there's enough in here for you to believe. "And that believing you may have life in his name." So again, Jesus makes that grand entrance. Amen? And he says, "Peace to you." Jesus wanted to deal with Thomas's doubt. That is the grace and mercy of God in action right there. Because guess what? Jesus did not have to do that for Thomas. Jesus invited Thomas to put his finger in the nail holes and his hand even in his side. Well, that did it. That was enough. "My Lord and my God," right? But Jesus said something very interesting. I love it. "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." See, that's true faith. Are you following me? I mean, even Thomas putting his hands through there, he still had to say, "Thomas, now when you're doing this, believe it." Right? But here's what Jesus was saying. Get this, and you need to get excited about this. That there is a greater blessing for those that use their faith to believe more than Thomas needed physical proof of it. There is a blessing in using your faith. The Word of God says that the eyes of God go to and fro over the whole earth looking for those who believe Him. I'm telling you, if you will trust and believe the Word of God, you will unlock miracles, signs, and wonders in your life like never before. Now, I'm almost done. Stick with me. The next group of people that Jesus appeared to after His resurrection from the dead was with some disciples again. But the one I really want to pull out of the crowd is Peter. Go to John 21. We're going to talk about Peter here. John 21, verses 1, we'll start with. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Peter was a little bummed out after the event, so he said, "You know, I'm going to try to kind of take my mind off some things and go fishing," right? They said to Him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. Well, that didn't help Peter, huh? But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits. I love that. That just shows Peter, just kind of his excitement, right? They were close anyways, and Peter jumps out, and the other guys say, "Yeah, we'll stay in the boat. We'll kind of row it to the shore. We're close anyways." But Peter, Peter was a little extra. He had to jump in and go, right? Dragging the net of fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. Wow. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Oh, see, when God blesses you, there's an unlimited supply. Come on, somebody. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after He was raised from the dead. Here's what I want you to get a hold of right here. Start with verse 15. Ready? So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, here's what I want you to get out of this. Remember before Jesus went to the cross, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Jesus dealt with those three times by asking Peter three times if he loved him, to give him a new start and a new beginning. Man, that's good. So he shows up on the scene. Here's what Jesus was trying to do. He was restoring Peter back into relationship with Him. And here, back into ministry. Back into His purpose. back into his calling. Amen? Listen to me, and Jesus is doing the same for you. If you messed up in the past, he's asking you today, do you love me? Yes, Lord, then I want to restore you back into your purpose. All three times that Peter denied, Jesus asked him that. So this appearance of Jesus was for, are you ready? The restoration of Peter. The restoration, you could even throw this in there. You ready? The emotional healing of Peter. Can you imagine how bad you would have felt denying Jesus three times and then watching him hang on a cross? So each to each response, Jesus' response to Peter, to each of them, to each I love you was, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It was a message of restoration, and Peter, come on, let's get refocused back on your purpose and mission. So I want to point out, again, I can't move out forward without saying this, that Jesus told them to cast the net to the right side of the boat, and the nets were filled. Don't ever forget this. Obedience to the Lord will always bring powerful results and blessing into your life. Obedience is never a waste of time. Amen? The next group of people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead was the 11 disciples again. And this time it was a planned location by Jesus. It was a meeting. Hey, guys, meet me here. All right? So let's take a look at what this meeting was all about. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verses 16 through 20. And it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Can you believe that? People are still doubting. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Underline it. Teaching them, there's that teaching again, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. So it says that when people seen Jesus, it's just unbelievable that these people are still doubting it. See, again, let me just remind you that faith, doubt, and unbelief are all an act of our free will. We choose to believe or we choose not to believe. You get it? It's in our control, not God's control. Amen? But there's always going to be some that doubt, right? When a move of God happens, there's always those who will be scoffers. There's always those who will doubt, right? Why? Because there's a real enemy out there. Amen? But listen, this is where this meeting where Jesus said, hey, meet me over here. This is where Jesus gave the great commission and delegated authority to all of you. Believers in Jesus Christ. This appearance of Jesus after his resurrection declares victory over every enemy in the first and second heaven and on earth. Now, you do know there's three heavens, right? First, second, and third. First heaven is where you see me flying around in with our yellow bird. The second heaven is where you see stars. It's outer space. Third heaven, that's where God dwells. That's where Jesus is right now, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for all of us. Amen? So he was declaring victory over all those things, all right? And he was saying, go out with boldness. Here it is. Here's my name. Go use it. Amen? Now, the last group, as I finish up here, the last group of people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection from the dead. Are you ready for this? It wasn't just a group of 11. It wasn't just a couple. Oh, no. He appeared to a group of over 500 people at one time before his ascension into heaven. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at this here. Over 500 people. The word says everything should be established with two or three witnesses. Well, guess what? There's over 500 at one time. If you don't believe it, it's your problem. Amen? Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which ye stand. By also you are saved if, oh, listen to that, listen to that. By in which you are you are saved if, say if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Why? Because your name can get blotted out of the book of life. Hello, somebody. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. There it is. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep or died when Paul was writing this. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Now, so this passage confirms that all the sightings of Jesus and encounters after his resurrection from the dead that this talks about, including the 500 at one time. Now, go to Acts chapter 1. This is my last scripture here. What was that gathering talking about of the 500 at one time? What did Jesus talk about? Huh. See, this was the last gathering right before Jesus went up into heaven. So it's his final message. I would say it's probably pretty important, right? Right? Have you ever had a loved one pass away? And you were with them there on their deathbed, and they had final words for you. And how much that meant to you. Amen? This is Jesus' final words, except he didn't die. He was alive, and he rose up to heaven. Amen? Acts 1, look at this. The former treaties I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible, underline it, infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, like we've been talking about, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall, Jesus said, hey, listen, don't worry about that right now. You're thinking too fleshly right now. You following me? Don't think of that. But then he goes on to say, but this is what I do want you to think about. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus is saying, I got work for you all to do. Amen. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, they were watching him. He was speaking, and while he was speaking, now get this in your head. While they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The 40 days were fulfilled. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in the like manner that you've seen him go into heaven. That is powerful. So the Word of God declares this, that there were many infallible proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is alive and well. Let me just define a word for you. Infallible. The word infallible is defined as this, as incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. That's not talking about the Pope. Are you following me? That's not talking about the Pope. This is talking about infallible proof that indeed Jesus Christ was alive from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days, and he ascended into heaven. Hello, somebody. Amen? This is how concrete that evidence is. So for the 40 days, he was seen by people, and he talked about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In fact, if you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, you know what Jesus preached? The kingdom of God. What should we preach? The kingdom of God. Amen? In fact, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. Amen? So Jesus' final instructions before ascending into heaven was to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be endued from power on high. What? For the work of the ministry. Jesus never intended for his work to stop when he left this earth. We are part of his body. And the same Holy Spirit that anointed him for the works he did, he's anointed us to continue with those works. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, deliverance. Hello, somebody. Amen? Amen? So we know from the book of Acts then that 120, as we're going to get closer to Pentecost. May 19th is Pentecost, right? We know from the book of Acts that 120 out of those 500 or so people showed up to the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. So Jesus confirmed the completion of his mission on this earth and the victory that all of you, every Christian, would have through the precious Holy Spirit. Not only did Jesus finish it, not only did he get raised from the dead, but he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so he will help you and teach you to take advantage of all the benefits of what I purchased for you. That's the importance of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit on this earth. So Jesus was victorious in every way. So again, those 40 days must have been an amazing time, amazing conversations. In fact, Jesus said this. He said this in John 14 and through 16. He's like, I have many more things that I want to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you things that I wasn't able to tell you. So the job of the Holy Spirit, you know, when you read something in the Word, the Holy Spirit fills in the blanks. Well, Jesus did many more things. Guess who's going to show you those many more things? The Holy Spirit. Don't cut out the Holy Ghost out of your life. Amen? Amen. In fact, the Word of God even says you can you blaspheme the Son of God, you can get forgiveness. You blaspheme the Father, you can get forgiveness. But you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness. Now, what does that mean? What is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Because people get paranoid of that. Have I blasphemed the Holy Ghost? No, it means you're intentionally doing it. The people who are doing it, they're being stupid and dumb because they don't know what they're saying. Are you following me? Yeah. For had they known. Now, if they know and they willingly do it and cut off the Holy Ghost, there's no more forgiveness of sins at that point. Are you following me? That's the one unforgivable sin. You getting it? But it must be done willingly. I don't recommend it. You know, just receive the Holy Ghost and flow with him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Build a relationship with him. But Jesus made it very clear to us that having the Holy Spirit within us when you get born again and upon by receiving the Holy Spirit baptism after his departure, that it would be just as intimate, just as powerful, just as effective as if Jesus was in the flesh right here by us. That's how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Amen? So over 500 people watched Jesus ascend into heaven, right? And then the angel said, hey, come on, we got to get busy now. He's going to come back one day. So guess what, guys? As I finish here, Jesus is coming back soon. You do know that, right? Are you ready? Have you made him Lord of your life? Let's stand up in this place right now. Prayer team, come forward. Jesus is indeed coming back soon. But even more shockingly, you could take your last breath before Jesus returns. Right? If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day you get born again. Today's the day to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Today is the day to receive the Holy Spirit and everything that Jesus has for you today. Amen? Today is the day for you to start living in the fullness of the victory that Jesus purchased through the cross and through his resurrection from the dead. Today is the day to receive a powerful revelation of Jesus Christ. So our prayer team right here, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come forward and you can pray with them. Today's the day you need to get born again. You take your last breath without Jesus, there's no purgatory, there's no waiting room. That's it. Game over. Your eternal destination is sealed. You would need to rededicate your life. You've been backslidden. And frankly, you lost confidence that, man, if I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. That's too big of a gamble. If you want to rededicate your life, come on down. If you want the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll talk to you about it. If you need prayer for anything else, we'll stay here as long as you need to minister to you. So thank you, everyone, for coming today. Visitors, thank you so much. Come on back. We'd love to have you back. We have events going on all through the week. So you guys enjoy your day, and I love you all. And I'm going to be in the back shaking hands. So God bless you guys.